Are you happy to be in church today?
Amen.
Amen. I am. I hope that you're saying that when we're done. Amen. It's good to have Brother Hampton, Brother B.J. Hampton is our missionary to Cuba and his wife Judy with us today. And he's a blessing to my heart most of the time. And he came into the Sunday school class and he told me that I looked like I'd put on weight. And so since he thinks I've added weight, I think we're going to take off of his support. I make that motion right now. <I'm> All of a sudden, I look great, don't I? Anyway, we're glad that they're here. And if you hear some noise from up in the front, it's just Brother DJ. Don't worry about it. Amen. The book of Jonah, chapter number 1. And can I tell you something? I don't want to burst anybody's bubbles today, but I have to tell you this, okay? That the moon is not made out of green cheese. Okay? That not everything that glitters is gold. Santa Claus is your mommy and daddy. We're going to have some grief counselors available after the service. After having made that announcement, not everyone that says they're a Christian really is, huh? And VeggieTales didn't write the story of Jonah. As I mentioned, we're going to have grief counselors out in the foyer today because I'm afraid that that may scar some people irreparably. But you know, I had occasion to see the VeggieTales movie of Jonah. Did anybody else see it? If you had kids, you probably did. If you have grandkids, you probably will. But I have to tell you, it's not even close to the biblical record. Not even close to it, okay? So, if you say, he's turning to Jonah, I've already seen the movie, trust me on this one, you haven't heard this story yet, okay? So, Jonah, chapter number 1, and I want us to look here in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this unto us? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto thee, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it hath pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that in this time together, that You would move in our midst. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here today that is not sure of their eternal destiny, like those Ninevites lost in sin, might they come to a place of saving faith today. Perhaps there are Christians here today that are running from the presence of the Lord like Jonah. And Lord, I pray that You would bring them up short and convict them and draw them lovingly to Yourself, I pray. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Today I want to bring a message to you titled, The Selfish Prophet. The Selfish Prophet. And before I'm a little rough on Jonah, I have to say that I am glad that the book of Jonah is in the Bible because it gives encouragement to me. And anyone that's here today that perhaps has deliberately stepped outside of the will of God for your life and fled from the will of God for your life, you ought to be glad that the book of Jonah is in the Bible. And we're going to get to why we need to be glad about it in just a few moments. But I think there are some things indicated in this minor prophet with a major message that strike to the heart of Christianity today. And I believe that every person in this room needs to pay heed to the message contained in this small little book, but with a profound consequence for you and for me today. It is interesting to me that here we find a man who was, by his own testimony, a man of God. He was a man that feared the Lord, the God of heaven, and he acknowledged the sovereignty of God over the sea and the land. There was no question in the heart and the mind of Jonah as to who was orchestrating the tempest in the sea. He knew. And he also knew that the one who was orchestrating the tempest and the sea had called and appointed him to a specific work, and it was a work that he was not happy about. In fact, I tell you, he was pretty upset about it. Now, the Lord spake to Jonah and said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Was perhaps one of the largest cities in the entire known world at the time. There were not a great many inhabitants upon the planet, relatively speaking, at this time. Maybe fewer than 10 million. So any city that occupied 1 million people would be counted as a great city. And in fact, so great was it that it took 3 days to walk all the way through it. By anybody's standards, that's a pretty big city. You know, Jonah had another idea about what he wanted to do. But God said, "I want you to arise and get thee to Nineveh." He didn't mince words about it. He didn't say, "Well, you know, you go off to Bible college for 4 years and maybe I'll reveal something to you." No, he said, "Listen, get up, Jonah, arise and get thee to Nineveh." In other words, I'm sending you right now to go to Nineveh and to cry out against that city, for their wickedness has come up before me. Can I tell you that the Ninevites had been very wicked to the people of Israel? In fact, they had persecuted and imprisoned and enslaved, and there was a tremendous hatred on the part of the Ninevites towards the people of God, and vice versa, as indicated by the spirit in the heart of Jonah. And so Jonah was not at all happy about this idea that God was telling him, I want you to go over to Nineveh and cry out against their wickedness because it has come up before me. That would be like me saying to Brother Mickey, arise, get thee to be a missionary in Afghanistan to win the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to the Lord. You might say, I'd sooner nuke them as save them. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I might be able to get a witness on that one, huh? And yet, here we find the Lord saying, I want you to get down there and I want you to cry out against their wickedness because I want to demonstrate my mercy to these people. That great people. And he was angry. Has the Lord ever asked you to do something that you didn't really want to do? Yeah, me neither. Liar. Lots of times the Lord says, I want you to do stuff that you might not want to do, but I want you to do. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like my wife sometimes, she'll give me a honey-do list, you know? Guys, how many of you have ever gotten a honey-do list? And those of you that have not raised your hand are fixing to get one. So if you don't respond to the preacher, bad things happen, you know? Your wife takes notice. Hey, all these other women have got their husbands doing this. My husband's getting some honey-do things to do here, you know? And my wife inevitably will give me a honey-do list of things that she wants me to get done. Can you imagine that? I'm the head of the house, too. But she says, you're going to do this. Arise, get thee hence to Home Depot and cry out against those weeds that have come up from before my face, you know. And she's got this honey-do list of things that she wants me to do. And so, you know what? I look around and maybe she wants me to pull some weeds and maybe she wants me to repair some things around the house. And I think, you know what I need to do? I need to mow the lawn. And so I spent half the day mowing the lawn. That wasn't on my honey-do list. You know what I'm saying? That was what I wanted to do. And I come home and I'm like, hey, hon, see the lawn? She doesn't say, nice job, thanks a lot for doing the lawn. She's like, did you get to the weeds? I'm like, well, you see, the thing is, did you fix the drawer? Well, the thing is, and she's not at all happy with the effort I put out there because I didn't do the thing she wanted me to do. You ingrate? I'm just kidding. Sort of. Sometimes we come to church and we know the Lord is saying, I want you to go and be a blessing to that person right over there. And you think, Lord, I'd rather be a blessing to that person over there. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to take that person over there out to lunch today. And you say, but Lord, they're not in my little circle of social influence right now. That's stepping outside of my comfort zone. I'd rather invite them to lunch than them. And so we wind up doing what we want to do, not what God wants for us to do. Boy, that's just like Jonah. How many of you can say that there have been times where you knew God wanted you to do something and you did another thing? And maybe it was even a good thing, huh? It's like the Lord said, I would like for you to support the work of the Lord. And you say, well, I really don't want to do that. I want to give some money to the American Red Cross to help hurricane victims. And that's a good thing to do. That's fine, Even though James Dobson says, don't give any more of your money to the American Red Cross because they hate the church. And they're not giving anything to those churches that are carrying the lion's share of the load down there in the Gulf Coast, helping people. And all over the Gulf Coast are auditoriums today that are now shelters. There are gymnasiums and fellowship halls that are shelters, not getting a dime out of the American Red Cross. But that all notwithstanding, we say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give the work of the Lord all the time. I don't want them to get used to having it, you know. Because then I might pull the plug on them, and you know that would be a bad thing. You know, listen, we go through all sorts of mental gymnastics when it comes to the things that God wants us to do, and we try to find every means possible to avoid doing the thing that God wants us to do, and sometimes we try to placate God by doing another thing that we deem as good while understanding we're still in rebellion against the thing that He's told us He wants us to do. And so when we get to that point in our mind, a lot of times what we do is we're uncomfortable in the presence of the Lord because His presence with us is a convictor. Have you ever been convicted, Jerry? I didn't think so. Me either. It's a convictor. So you know what we want to do when we feel a sense of conviction in our hearts? We want to run away from it. Sometimes you know the pastor's taking a stand on some things that maybe he doesn't even know are an issue in your life. And he comes over to spend some time around you, and it's an amazing thing how busy people become as soon as the pastor comes around. You know what I'm saying? They're standing around chewing the fat, broomstick, and you know, all those types of things. And then I show up and it's like, oh, I'm really busy. Sorry, I gotta run. And you know what? I understand that sometimes that's a little bit of conviction because they say, here's a guy here that's taking a stand and maybe he brought the Lord with him. I'm not sure and I'm a little uncomfortable with this whole arrangement right now. So I'm going to get out of here. That's, by the way, what the Bible calls being salt and light. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. When I come around people that are in sin, if I'm living for Jesus, it's going to be a reprover to their spirit. And so, you know what? Jonah was a little uncomfortable with what God had said for him to do, and he was kind of in a dilemma. And so, not only did he say, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to go the exact opposite. I'm going to do 180 degrees opposite of what God has asked me to do. And because he was uncomfortable with what God was asking him to do, he not only fled from Nineveh, he fled from the presence of the Lord. And I want us to see, number one, Jonah was running from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was running. I don't know about you, but a lot of people have run from the presence of the Lord because of something they felt like He may want them to do, some sin in their life that He may ask them to repent of, and they're not willing to do it, and so they run away from the presence of the Lord. By the way, can I tell you something? There is an indictment upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, because here is the prophet Jonah who was called to go to the Ninevites, a wicked people. They had a lot of problems. They were labor-intensive in ministry. I mean, you couldn't just give 3 points in a poem and go home and rest and work from 9 to 5 if you were the prophet of the Lord. That meant you were going to be on call 24/7. That these people were needy people. They had all kinds of problems. And it meant that if I went to that church, I would have to work myself plumb to death and depend upon God. And I, quite frankly, don't want to work that hard. And I got to tell you something today. Churches on a wholesale basis are fleeing to the suburbs, and they say it's because we can buy more ground and have bigger auditoriums and things, but a large part of it is this. They know that if we stay right down there in the center of the inner city, we're going to have to deal with prostitutes and drug addicts and wayward teenagers and runaways and homelessness and all that we consider to be bad and negative about our society, and they don't want to be any part of it. And a lot of churches are saying this is taking too much energy away from people that we deem able to help advance the kingdom of God and His Christ, because they can put money in the offering plate and they can pay their dry cleaning bill, and it's a lot more fun to have a bunch of Cadillacs and European sports cars parked in the parking lot than it is to have Yugos and Hyundais. But friends, I got to tell you something. It's not up to me to decide where I'm going to go. It's up to God, and it's up to me to say, where you send me, I will go. Just like the people of God said to Joshua when he took over from Moses, they said, whatsoever you command us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You know what I believe today? I believe that God has raised up the Freeway Baptist Church for such a time as this and for such a place as this. And I'm not saying that we might not ever outgrow this place and have to move somewhere, but I am saying this, that we're always going to have a ministry to people that we might not otherwise want our kids to hang around with. I'll guarantee you there wasn't a single soul in Nineveh that Jonah would have wanted his children to hang out with. I'm not going, God. I'm running away from your presence. And some of you today are mad about what God is trying to get you to do and how He's leading in your life. And you're mad about the people that God has called you to serve and to invest your life in. And you say, it's too hard doing it that way. I don't like these people. They're too labor intensive. They have too many problems. They're too needy. I'm going to go somewhere else where I can be appreciated. I'm going to work with a class of people that don't have as many issues so that I can turn my kids over to them. Friends, I got to tell you something. You're no different than Jonah running from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I've been there. I know what that feels like. To say, oh, brother, not again. Huh? And the Lord said, hey, arise, get thee down the freeway. Arise, get thee down to South Phoenix. Arise, get thee down to that dope addict. Arise, get thee down to that homeless person. Arise, get thee down to that prostitute. Arise, get thee down to that lesbian. Arise, get thee down to that gay man. Arise, get thee down to that sinner that has needs and problems and issues. You know who Jesus came to save? Sinners! They're the only candidates for salvation. The rest of us don't have a prayer. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. You know, we have this mistaken idea that we come down to the church and everything is goodness and light, you know, and we'd send our kids up into Sunday school class with about 20 kids, and there's a perfect ratio of teachers and students, and we're going to have everything's perfect and wonderful, and we live in a perfect world, and every student there loves God. They're there because they want to learn something about Jesus. And if you believe that, I got a bridge I want to sell you. You know what I'm saying? We talk about taking a stand in our society because the world hates God. Folks, I got to tell you something. You got to take a stand in your church.
Amen. Yes.
And it's not Freeway Baptist Church. It's every church in the whole valley and in the nation and around the world. Do you know why? Because churches are filled with people.
Yes.
And you know what people have? Problems and issues and hang-ups and sins. Just, you know, we could go to the big ones that have the bumper stickers in the window that look kind of funny, but they've just learned how to mask their sins a little better. You know what I'm saying? You know, they can house their sins in a nicer place because they can afford their mortgage. But the issues are all the same. And Jonah said, Lord, I'm going to run away. I don't want to go. You know what I believe? That just like Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord, there are people here today that are turning tail to run away from the presence of the Lord. And God's saying, hey, 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 and the tempest is coming, hey, and we're... And he's trying to get our attention. Hey! And we're saying, hey, I'm out of here, man! And the tempest comes and it's roaring and we're running. Huh? And it takes a whale of a problem to bring us to the place where we'll say, okay, I'm listening now. I want us to see, secondly, Jonah was reminded. The tempest came, and the Lord was going, hey, Jonah. That's a little different. Just a little different pitch to my right hand. I feel it. You ready? No, I'm just kidding. And the Lord's saying, hey, I'm trying to remind you of some things here, you know? trying to remind you what I've called you to. I've allowed this storm to blow up, and now I've got these ungodly mirrors in your face like, who are you? What do you do? Where do you come from? Who's your God? You know? And he's like, you know, here's the point in time where I want Jonah to lie about it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like you know, you're standing, you know, outside the liquor store with the bottle in your hand and a carton of cigarettes, and you're cursing and telling a nasty joke, and someone says, hey, what church do you go to? That's the time I want you to lie. You know, well, I live in Phoenix, and I go to the Freeway Baptist Church, and I fear God. Not. Just lie right there, okay? I'll give you a special dispensation for that one. He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear God. And I'm like, oh, brother. Great testimony. You know what I'm saying? Great testimony. And the Lord was using these mariners to remind him who he was and what he'd been called to. And he was using the tempest to remind him who he was and what he was called to and who he belonged to. And he kept on running. And sometimes God will use a preacher, and it'll just be like God going, and you're like, did I hear something? And sometimes God will use a whale of a problem and a storm to remind you, hey, I saved you. I called you with a holy calling. I have a purpose and a plan for your life. And I have a will for your life that I want you to fulfill in your sin. But I don't like those people. They're too needy. They have too many problems. Lord, I've been needy all my life. I want to get around some non-needy people so I can rest a minute. You know, we'll get to rest when we get to heaven. You know what? I was shaking last night, man. It was 11 o'clock, and my bones were aching. I'm not really that old. In fact, I'm quite young. And for being as in good a shape as I'm in, I shouldn't have been aching all that much. I just remember thinking to myself, boy, man, I just feel tired. I'm just so tired. I couldn't stop yawning. And I thought, you know, I should be more rested than this. I've got to speak 4 times tomorrow. You know? And if you ever had to speak to you, you'd know how draining that is. You know, and I heard the still small voice of God say, well, you know, you can rest on Monday. So, Jonah was reminded of the Lord. Do you know why? Because God loved him. And he gave him a chance with the mariners to turn around. He gave him a chance with the waves to turn around. And the third time God said, they put those men up there, they drew lots, the waves, everything. There were 3 occasions where he had an opportunity to repent and turn around, and the storm would have ended because God was gracious. The very thing that Jonah didn't want God to do to the Ninevites, he was now being the recipient of. It's called mercy and grace. And he didn't heed it. And so they chucked him overboard. And I want you to see in verse number 17, it says, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That selfish prophet that was so full of himself even made the whale sick to his stomach. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, it reminds me, the Lord said, you know, I would that you're either hot or cold, but because you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You make me want to puke. I'm sure that whale thought, you know, this guy is just so mixed up. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Man, can you imagine the tempest in that stomach? Oh, boy. The other day I was hungry and I was in a hurry and I drove by Taco Bell. And I thought, I need to get a greasy taco and put as much hot sauce on it as I can to tide me over until I can have a decent meal. You know, I was thinking, I'll just drive through, I'll eat this thing. So I choked down a taco with all the hot sauce all over it and you know, chased it with a Mountain Dew. And about an hour later, my stomach was hurting me so bad, I thought, this is terrible. You know, can I tell you, that's how the person that's running from the presence of the Lord affects the heart of God. But I'm glad that through the wail of the storm and the trouble, that God spoke and did not destroy Jonah. Can I tell you something? You may be in a whale of a problem right now, as it were. How many of you have ever been through something like that? Let me see your hands. All right. And how many of you didn't raise your hand that time, but you should have? Okay. That's all the rest. I'm not going to ask how many brought a burden or a problem into church today like that, but I think there are a few. And I want you to know that the problems and the difficulties that you're facing in your life right now have been brought into your life not to destroy it, but because of the grace and the mercy of the Lord, He wants to bring you back into the center of His will, where there is peace and where there is safety, and not outside of it. You know, can I tell you something? I have people all the time say, well, I go to church, but my wife, or I go to church, but my kids, or I go to church, but my job. You know, God can take your excuse from you. Amen. Don't try to blame everything on everybody else. You know what? God wanted to put Jonah in the belly of the whale, not so that Jonah would focus in upon the wickedness of Nineveh, but so that he would see the wickedness of Jonah because of his rebellion against God. And you know what? Some are here today and they're so focused in on the wickedness of somebody that's picking on you or talking about you or against you. And you're focused in on their wickedness, and God wants you to focus in on your own. Because you can't change anyone. You can't change you. Only God can. But you have to let Him. And it came to the point where Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. He said, listen, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And he was observing lying vanities, thinking that somehow he was one that feared God, when everything about his life was telling the opposite. He was lying. And he forsook his mercy as a result of it. But he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And it was then that the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want us to see, thirdly, Jonah repentant. He turned away from it. God had to cause him to do a 180. Only, you know what? When he was going down to Tarshish, he was going as hard as he could go. And when he turned around, it was like this. Huh? The other day, I was just being funny. My wife called me. She was driving out of the parking lot, and she forgot the baby's bottle or something. I think it was a baby's bottle. She called me from her cell phone and said, I'm going to drive right back in. I'm in a hurry. I'm running late. Can you run the bottle out to the car so I don't have to unstrap Timothy? So she said, when I get in the parking lot, I'll just honk the horn. You bring it out, you know. And so she comes in, honks the horn, you know. And so I grab the bottle, and she's in a big hurry and everything. And so I walk out the door. I look up to them. I look down at the bottle, and I just kind of go. And she's laying on the horn. Come on, I'm in a hurry. You know, isn't it amazing how hard and fast we go after what we want and sometimes how reluctant we are to go after what God wants. How slow and methodical we are at going after the things of God. But I'm glad of this, that not only did he repent, but he was, number four, regurgitated. Okay, in the NIV, I think it says puked. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it says. But we get the picture, don't we? And it ain't a pretty one. And you know what? God said, okay, I'm going to deliver you onto the shores. I'm going to set you back on your feet. And the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Would you see, fifthly, that Jonah was resent? Because we serve the God of the second chance. Can I tell you something? Jonah went through this thing of, no, I'm sure he said this. If I was God, I'd wipe them all out. They better be glad I'm not God or they'd be dust. You ever thought that? Have you ever gone through that scenario in your mind? That person better be glad I'm not God or man, they'd be crispy critters. Huh? Jonah ought to have been glad that God was God. Otherwise, he'd have been a crispy critter. And he wouldn't have been swallowed whole. He would have been put into a food processor. You know what I'm saying? But God had a plan for his life. And all that befell him was not to destroy him. It was to prepare him. And to mold him into the image of what God wanted him to be. And some of you today are in a whale of a problem. And you think God's set against you and that he hates you. You know what? God wants you to repent of that stinking thinking and come back to the place where you understand the circumstances of your life are not set against you, but God has orchestrated them for you. And he has a work that he wants you to do. Now, can I tell you something? God's will never changes for your life. God doesn't have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C. No, God just has plan A. You know why he don't need plan B, plan C? I know I used bad English, but it was a ploy to capture your attention. You know why he doesn't need plan B? Because he's perfect and plan A works perfectly if we work it. So, maybe Jonah thought when he was regurgitated up on the sand, okay, now I can go back to prophesying to my own people. But God said, get thee to Nineveh. God, Lord, come on, man. No, I want you to go to those people you don't like. The ones you hate. The ones that you said if you were God, they'd be crispy critters. Those are the ones I'm asking you to go to. Because my will for your life has not changed. Get up and go. Now, folks, I want to tell you, I'm delighted today that we serve the God of the second chance. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have been vomited up on the shores. Huh? They would have found bone fragments in the belly of the whale. And they'd have had to call CSI to identify me. But I want to tell you something. God allowed me to be thrown up out of the whale because he still had a work for me to do. And you too. Or you wouldn't be here today listening to this message. God has a purpose for your life. He's not done yet. Not remotely. Might we see number six, Jonah reluctant. He didn't want to go. He didn't like it. But he went. And he began to cry out. In verse 4 of chapter 3, it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" No 3 points in a poem. No getting out at noon. None of that stuff. None of that here either. What do you know? We have six points, and they're not all up there yet. And here was the message. "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." 40 days, and you're all dust. 40 days, and God's finally going to do what I want Him to do. Huh? But guess what happened? The thing happened that He didn't expect to have happen in the course of God's will, and the people repented. The king declared a fast, and they were in sackcloth and ashes, and they were told, "We're going to worship and serve this God," and they turned their hearts. One of the greatest revivals on record in the history of humankind. An entire people were turned to God. And we see finally Jonah, lastly, raging. God saved a whole race of people, and Jonah was mad about it because God didn't do what he wanted God to do. He was selfish. Now, can I ask you a question? And don't answer right out loud because you might have doubt yourself, okay? And we're almost done, but I want you to think about this for a minute. Have you ever been mad at God because He didn't do what you thought He should have done for you? Have you ever been angry at the Lord, at your circumstances? Me too. Me too. And Jonah thought, well, maybe he'll still destroy it. So he went up and sat up the edge of the city so he could look down on it and watch the fireworks if they ever came down, you know. And God allowed a gourd to grow up and provide him some shade. And he was happy for the gourd. And then a worm came and ate the gourd and took away his shade, and he was mad again. And the Lord said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" He said, "You're happy." The Lord said, "You're happy about a gourd that grew up in a night and perished in a night. And yet you don't have any compassion for this great people, 60,000 and also much cattle, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left." Can I tell you this? This month, our emphasis, as you see in your bulletin and on the website and all around you, is world evangelism. Can I tell you that churches, by and large, in America today are more concerned about the gourd and the comfort that can be derived from the gourd, the shade, the AC, the carpeting, the accoutrements of a nice building. We're more concerned about that than we are about saving 60,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand or their left. And also much women and children and cattle. It's amazing what moves us, isn't it? God's purpose and plan hasn't changed. And though God may have called you to something, some of you find yourself running. Some of you find yourself raging. I want to remind you who you are, where you come from, where you're going, and who gave it to you. Turn around. Turn around. And don't be reluctant about it. Because what Jonah feared for the Ninevites, he was happy to receive for himself. That God would be merciful. That God would be gracious. And He was. Can I tell you something? If God wasn't merciful, if God wasn't gracious, I wouldn't be here today. And neither would you. Neither would you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you today for the message. And Lord, I pray that if there's a person in this room this morning